produced a film entitled The Gospel According to Matthew. And that movie was literally just that, because Pasolini treated the gospel text as if it were a movie script. And so all of the dialogue on the soundtrack was taken directly from Matthew's gospel. And all of the action on the screen was precisely that as described by the evangelist. Now, translated so faithfully into the film medium, the gospel in that movie revealed Jesus that we usually miss when we hear the gospel proclaimed piecemeal in the individual passages on weekends or when we use scripture to pray in small sections at a time. The entire gospel, as Pasolini translated it to film, shows us a Jesus who was really pressed for time. It is a Jesus who is in a hurry. He's a man on the move. He's a man who cannot wait or tarry or waste a single moment. He's a man who is intent on his work. He is impassioned. He's even angry. That image should help us understand the Jesus of today's gospel. The Gospel of John today describes the feeding of the crowd, which introduces a long address by Jesus on the gift of his flesh and blood, because the feast of the Passover is near. Now, John's gospel infuses into this incident a spirit that is not emphasized by the other gospel writers. In their accounts, the multiplication occurs near evening after a long day of teaching. It is simply a response to a very practical problem. People are hungry, they need to be fed. But in John, as we just heard, the miracle occupies the entire scene there on the green hillside. Looking up, Jesus sees all of these people approaching him. And his first question is, where can we buy some bread? His only purpose, as described by John, is to feed the people. And so he directs the entire operation himself. He goes about and even distributes some of the bread himself as the host of the meal. Jesus is so totally intent on that mission, so completely given over to it, he's impassioned about what he is doing in feeding the hungry. He is angry. Yes, he's angry. Our imaginations are so prejudiced in favor of the good and gentle, sweet Jesus. And so much of the sweet Jesus image still remains with us, for one reason, because of the bad saccharine art that we were brought up in, so-called religious art. That's unfortunate, because if we were asked to give examples of the anger of Jesus, probably the only ones that we could think of would be when he cleansed the temple, and then the number of times when he denounced the scribes and the Pharisees with their inhuman laws and regulations that were so lacking in compassion. And of course, the scribes and the Pharisees represented the institutional church of Jesus' day. What happened then could be also happening today. Probably you'd be hard-pressed to lengthen the list beyond those. And yet, if you saw the movie or if you read the gospel all the way through, page after page of Matthew shows us a Jesus who is angry. Why is it that we overlook that element that is so present there? We do it simply because we are culturally prejudiced against recognizing Jesus as an angry man. We have been so thoroughly imbued with the idea that we must always be nice to each other, at least to wear the masks. It is a standard that is supported by society, promoted by families, and preached by religion. Now that standard does not keep us from being angry, but rather it makes it difficult for people to know how to handle their anger. And so it becomes repressed and it comes out in even worse ways than if it were released in a therapeutic fashion, as Jesus did. This all-encompassing love that Jesus exhibited for people and continues right now into our very midst has running all the way through it the steel supporting girding of anger. Jesus was an angry man, angry at all of the evil that happens and what evil does to us, at what we do as people to ourselves. Jesus was angry about the very fact that people went hungry, about all the diseases that brought their lives to an end prematurely, about all the distortions and the stuntings that he saw human beings subject to in his own time and our own time. He was angry about hunger and disease that creates so much frenzy in the spirits of people. It was that kind of anger that sustained Jesus in his mission. It was that kind of anger that drove him to an authentic love and tenderness for people, because he really wanted to do something for them, to heal them, to comfort them. And for our part, we sometimes have a nice, tepid, lukewarm goodwill toward everybody in general, toward no one in particular, and then we call it charity. We're all for niceness. We all want to be so correct and so polite. We never raise our voices. We're not ever to be contentious. Nice people don't do things like that. And so, by trying so desperately to be acceptable to other people, we simply become signs of apathy. The question that Jesus asked of his disciples, "Can you drink of the cup I am to drink of?" was not an invitation to come over someday for a cup of tea. The two-edged sword that cuts and heals that St. Paul spoke of so often was not meant to scratch backs. And the gospel metaphor that Jesus speaks of, the salt of the earth, was not the sugar. To say that we are nice sometimes is not to be taken as a compliment. When things are nice and peaceful, sometimes it simply means the people are filled with apathy. Possibly in centuries to come, when historians sift through the legacies that we people today will leave behind, will be a discovery that we are all part of a fabric of society, a society strained by so much rapid change and adjustment, a people surrounded with thousands of acres of asphalt blacktop, millions of lost golf balls, thanks to T.S. Eliot. And what will save us from the niceness is the Eucharist that we participate in each weekend, in which we are engaged right now. In this very Eucharist that we celebrate today, Jesus continues here in our midst his passion, not just with a capital P, but rather also with a lowercase, passionate anger. His spirit of passionate anger is also part of our Eucharist that we receive from him. His living presence in this sacrifice at this table, in this sacrament, is a sign of his impassioned anger living today. His intense driving love to do for us what he always did whenever people gathered into his midst. Today he goes on in our midst to fill the hungry, to cure the sick, to raise the dead. Today we are the hungry, we are the sick, and we are the people dead in apathy. The risen Christ offers us life, true life, not the frenzied kind of vitality that fills so many of our days, rather true life, and not the busy pursuit of profit and privilege that constitutes the meaning of life for so many people today and allows it to be so empty. He gives us real life, not the apathy that descends upon so many of us that we call peace. May the peace of Christ disturb us. That's the meaning of the peace offering at the Eucharist. In sharing his true life with us, his risen life, Jesus invites us to share his anger. As a Christian people, he wants us to become angry with life as it is really all about us, and with death, about the whole collection of stupidities that we manage to create for ourselves and for other people. And in that great film, The Gospel According to Matthew, director Pasolini shows Jesus in eager haste by the placement of what he does on the screen and how he does it. On the screen, Jesus is always shown striding out ahead of the disciples, talking to them over his shoulder. And that's how he leads us today. He hurls back at us the questions. Where is the bread for hungry people today? Where is the care for the people who are hurting? Where is the concern for those who are broken? In order to respond, we must get angry as Jesus did and pray that the peace of Christ will eventually disturb us.